And now it's time for On Our Minds. Back in 2001, reporter Maria Mills traveled to Monroeville, Alabama, as part of an assignment for the Chicago Tribune. And while she was there, she met the celebrated author of To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee. Now, Harper Lee is a notoriously private author. She's famous for refusing to give interviews or even talk with journalists. But somehow, Maria Mills became friends with Lee and with her sister, Alice Finch, and she even wound up moving into the house next door. Now, Mills has written a memoir about that friendship called The Mockingbird Next Door. A lot of people have strong feelings about that. Many think she had no business writing it. And Harper Lee herself has released a statement denying any involvement with the project. So when Steve Paulson recently sat down to talk with Maria Mills, all of this was on his mind.
Maria, tell us about your very first conversation with Harper Lee. How did you happen to talk with her?
The first time I heard her voice was on the phone at my room in the Best Western Motel on the outskirts of Monroeville, Alabama, her hometown. I was there working on a story. I was a feature writer for the Chicago Tribune and had met her sister, Alice Finchley, with whom she shared a home there, and had some good conversations, some interviews for the story. So Nell Harper herself, to my surprise, Nell Harper Lee is her given name. Nell Harper, when I entered the phone in my motel room, I was surprised to hear her say, "Hello, this is Harper Lee. You've made quite an impression on Miss Alice. I wonder if we might meet." And as I wrote in the book, I felt as if I had heard, "Hello, this is the Wizard of Oz. I wonder if we might meet." So I tried to kind of keep my voice steady and said, yes, that would be just fine. And so she did come the next day. And right from the beginning, one of the things that struck me was a certain sense of fun there that I think people maybe don't know about her because she has been so private.
Now, to put this in perspective, I mean, part of the reason why your book has made such a splash is that Harper Lee has not given an on-the-record interview since, what, 1964?
That comes down to parsing language in a way. I think she was quoted, for example, in the New York Times in 2006. So depends on who you talk to, maybe, but essentially stopped giving interviews, yes, way back, just a few years, really, after the publication of the novel.
And To Kill a Mockingbird was, I mean, not only is this one of the most beloved novels written in the 20th century, read by virtually every American high school student, but it spent a long time on the bestseller list, won a Pulitzer Prize, was made into a movie, enormously successful. And then Harper Lee seemed to drop off the face of the earth. It's a remarkable story.
It really is. And I think when I asked her sister, she said, "How would you feel if you started at the pinnacle? Would you feel you're competing against yourself?" And she also said that all of that, referring to the acclaim and the interest and being in the spotlight, was really a lot to deal with. And as Nell said to me early on, 40 years of this gets to be a bit much, meaning 40 years of occasionally getting a knock on the door and finding a reader or a journalist.
So here you come, all these years later, and remarkably, she comes to see you, and she knows you're a reporter.
She does, and she made it clear that first meeting was a visit, not an interview. And so that was the first of many conversations that were so helpful in understanding her life, her perspective on a lot of these things. She's a very engaging person.
And you eventually actually moved down to her town in Alabama, live next door to the two sisters. How did you happen to do that?
Well, in some ways, real estate prices, oddly enough, had something to do with that. But by the time I'd known them about 3 years, my newspaper profile had run, and they'd invited me to continue seeing them. Friendship was there. And it really was a gift. You know, I would answer the phone some days and hear from Nell Harper next door, "Hi, hon, you pourin'?" Meaning, is there a pot of coffee on? Might I come over and chat around the kitchen table? Which was just a delight, of course. And I rented that house for 18 months, beginning in the fall of 2004.
So how often would you get together with her?
Fairly often. They were really wonderful about just sort of inviting me into the routines they had, which were things like feeding the ducks and geese. Eating out was something that we did quite a bit. Like a lot of older people, that was one of the, you know, forms of entertainment in a sense, and sort of a lasting sense of source of consternation that there were only a few places and we would rotate amongst them. Not
so, and what did the townspeople think of Harper Lee? I mean, obviously they knew, of her desire for privacy. Did they kind of protect it?
Some people did. You know, there was one time when we were, in this case, having breakfast in a little hole-in-the-wall diner, her kind of place, and a woman from that area did recognize her and came over and was very gracious, as was Nell, in return, and just had one of those short encounters she's had over the years where someone says what the book has meant to her. And as that woman walked away, I thought, that woman clearly is just thrilled. This is a story she'll tell for years. But Nell turned to me and said, I hope I didn't disappoint her. And I thought, that's a glimpse at the expectations that she's lived with.
Now, when you were having these conversations with Harper Lee, were there certain things that it was clear you weren't supposed to ask her about? I mean, there are some enduring mysteries about her life. Why didn't she ever write a second novel? Did she ever think about getting married? Did you talk about any of those
things?
There
are, and I certainly didn't feel entitled to anything more than she wanted to share. For example, the question of neither marrying, it didn't seem to be something that came up much in conversation. And I did ask each if the other had dated.
Hmm.
And the response each had, Alice of Nell and Nell of Alice, was a little. But that was kind of that, as I wrote in the book. That wasn't a big topic of conversation.
And what about a second novel?
I think the weight of expectations clearly was a factor. Only she can answer that question. I think I wrote in the book that there were times, I will say, you know, when I would see her just come to life. For example, she had gone with me to interview a woman she wanted me to talk to and just came to life. I can remember her index finger on the dashboard of my Dodge when we were driving back and say, oh, that was good stuff. And thinking, as a writer would, in terms of how that might help tell a story and feeling a pang of this is something that she clearly loves. And I wonder if it would have been possible to spend more of her life engaged in that.
Hmm. Now, did Harper Lee know that you were going to write a book about experiences there?
Yes, in fact, she had this way of gesturing and would say, now put that in there, meaning include this in the book if you can, or that's off the record. And those things I did respect. I remember being at Burger King with her, where we were for a change of pace from coffee at McDonald's, and she said, I know what you can call your book, having their say.
Wait, so she was going to McDonald's and Burger King?
McDonald's and Burger King were two popular—
I mean, you know, this world-famous writer presumably could eat pretty much anywhere, but she wanted to hang out at these places.
Well, yeah, and I think that tells you a lot about her. She was very much somebody who didn't like to hold herself apart. I can remember one of her friends, Dale Welch, saying, one thing about Nell Harper is she hates pretense. And that was really evident. I think people would be surprised by how simply they lived.
Now, I have to ask you about the controversy that's come along with your book. So Harper Lee, famously private writer, came out and attacked your book when it was published and issued a statement. And in fact, the day before your book was published, the statement read, rest assured, as long as I'm alive, any book purporting to be with my cooperation is a falsehood. And it went on to say, Miss Mills befriended my elderly sister Alice. It did not take long to discover Maria's true mission. Another book about Harper Lee. I was hurt, angry, and saddened, but not surprised. I immediately cut off all contact with Miss Mills, leaving town whenever she headed this way.
Yeah, my own experience was just so far from that. And there's different components of that. Maybe the first thing to say is, I think three words to keep in mind belong to Alice Lee, and those are, imagine my shock. And that was what she wrote in 2011 when the first statement attributed to Nell Harper Lee was issued. And this was 2011, so Nell had had a serious stroke in 2007, hadn't been able to live at home since then, and that certainly didn't reflect my experience. And I reached out to Alice, who then issued a statement at that time. And she said that the other had been issued without her knowledge, that it didn't reflect her feelings or those of her sister. What she said was someone had prepared a letter and taken it to Nell Harper for her to sign. Nell Harper then had no memory of that incident.
You're suggesting that Nell Harper didn't actually write the statement herself?
Well, I can read you from Alice's letter. She said, Imagine my shock when I began to read and get clear about the statement sent from the law office, she's saying. I made no statement and could not see how that would get started. Then she discovered that someone had carried it to the place where Nell Harper was living after the stroke. And she said, poor Nell Harper can't see and can't hear and will sign anything put before her by anyone in whom she has confidence. Now she has no memory of the incident.
But why would someone else put that statement in front of Nell saying, you know, sign this, you know, you're going to condemn this book that talks about you? Why would anyone want to do that?
I don't know. My experience was that she was quite enthusiastic about a lot of this. I don't know. The picture has changed for them, unfortunately, particularly now with both of them in assisted living centers.
And they're both so quite old. I mean, Harper Lee is, what, 88 now?
She's 88 now. And Alice, unbelievably, will be 103.
Wow.
And practiced law until she was 100. And then that slouch. She has been also unable to live at home in the last couple of years.
Stepping away from the controversy that accompanied the publication of your book, there are all these complicated questions about the relationship between a writer and the subject she writes about, and especially for someone who has been so guarded as Harper Lee. And I'm wondering if you felt any particular responsibility about that, if that was problematic for you as you were writing this book.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of questions that surround something like that. And certainly what I never set out to do and was not our understanding and isn't what I did would be to write an authorized biography, for example. This wasn't that, and we all were clear about that. This was a memoir, and there were, you know, as she said, they were having their say about those things they chose to.
Did you ever have any qualms about writing this, about sort of telling this story?
Well, not about telling it in a responsible way. For me, a lot of the challenge was they really were so generous with their time and their insights and these experiences. So a big challenge was just how to organize that volume of material. These are women who were, I mean, one of the really delightful things about spending time with them is they're kind of fierce, both of them, in their own ways, and opinionated. And so they were very clear about a lot of things, and I wanted just to reflect that as accurately as I could.
Maria Mills is the author of The Mockingbird Next Door, Life with Harper Lee. She spoke with Steve Paulson.